Brother Jim, take your liberty to share whatever you have for us. I'm going to move your picture here a little bit. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, greetings, brethren, in the name of the Lord. You know, while the song service was going on, I was thinking what a great blessing it is for Glory to do what she does. You know, it's just a great blessing, and it's not insignificant, Glory. We all appreciate what you do to put those songs up, and it's a great blessing. And I have just a little testimony. A week ago, we woke up at 1 a.m. in the morning, and Joanne said, an alarm's going off. And I picked up my alarm clock, and I said, I don't know how to shut it off. She said, no, it's the smoke detector. And what had happened is we had left the exhaust fan on, took a late night shower, left the exhaust fan on, and it overheated and caught on fire. And it has a plastic, it's pretty much all metal, but it has a plastic cover. And the plastic cover caught on fire, hit the toilet seat, went down on the ceramic tile floor, and was burning. And I was able to put the fire out and called 911. And of course, they came after the fact. But I, some of us have to go through the fire. Never experienced a house fire. And I'm telling you, it was a little scary there for a while. But praise God.
It was contained.
It was contained, and God brought us through it. So I hope I don't have to call 911 ever again. Praise the Lord. We thank God for what he is doing in the Philippines, Brother Allen. Amen. And we so appreciate your labor of love, and your ministry, because I've had a lot of thoughts while the meeting's going on here. I see three generations here. Sister Rita's son, Jeremy, and her grandson sitting here. This is three generations. And that's what we're after, Brother Allen. We want these young people. We need another generation to come in. And so we appreciate the labor that you're doing there in the Philippines. Oh, praise God. Well, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word of God. The word of God is life. It is truth. It is substance. And Lord, we pray that you would impart unto us this day that substance from heaven. Oh, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like you to turn, if you would, please. And I'm going to ask Joanne to open this up in the Amplified. I'd like you to look at Ephesians chapter 2. And and I just would like to, well, we'll start out in verse 8. Ephesians 2. And verse 8, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I want you, Joanne, if you could, just read verse 10 there. This is verse 10 in the Amplified.
For we are his workmanship, his own master work, a work of art created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above spiritually, transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. There was something at the first part of that verse when he says we are his workmanship. Read just that part again.
His own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus.
Okay. I have to admit, I am not a great follower of the fine arts. Now, music I like. I love fine music, talented musicians, talented singers, but artwork and sculptures, I'm not much of a fan. But he's likening us to his workmanship. And just give me the thought one more time there at the beginning of that verse. He says, we're his workmanship.
His own masterwork.
His own masterwork.
A work of art.
A work of art. I have been in the work field. I was in transportation. And I worked around a bunch of union fellows, and Brother Campbell's dad was in the Teamsters Union, and he was he drove big trucks, and I used to talk to Brother Campbell about these things, and he said, "Oh yeah, I understand the kind of people you work with," and so every once in a while, you got to work with people that they don't really care, you know. They don't care about the job. They don't care if the job gets done, and they interrupt everybody else who's there trying to do a good job. And we call them a piece of work. Boy, that guy's a real piece of work, you know. Now, I don't know. You ever had that, Jeremy? Jeremy knows what we're talking about, a real piece of work, because you come there. You want to do your job, and you just want to do your job and go home, and these guys are interrupting. Well, we are, and I don't want to use that word, piece of work, but we are God's workmanship. He's a master craftsman. Now, Jeremy is a craftsman. I mean, that's a skill. That's a skill that he had to acquire. He's a craftsman. And I see Mike there. Mike is a master builder. So, I mean, it's something that he says in the Amplified, he said, we're a work of art. And let's call it a work of art instead of a piece of work, you know. But we are God's workmanship. And, you know, we see the illustrations all through the scripture. You know, when we think of the master craftsman, you know, there were stone workers, Jeremy, in the temple. They were craftsmen, and they had to craft those stones. And there were metal workers, and those metal workers had to go through the fire. You know, they had to put that. Joanne worked in a dental lab, and she had to put these impressions into this little oven, you know, and melt the silver or the gold or whatever the crown was. And I mean, it was hot, you know, 400 to 1,000 degrees or something. It was very hot. And put it in that little crucible and put it in that oven. And so Oh, Judy, hello. God bless you, Judy.
God bless you.
Judy's out in California, so praise God. But yeah, we are that piece of metal. We're that piece of stone. We're God is the craftsman, the wise master builder, and he's working in each one of us. So think about, let's concentrate on one thought, that we are God's piece of wood, okay? And if you've ever, now Mark, Mike, you've probably done this. You probably had to work on a lathe already and do things like that. Or when you're doing cabinets, you have to do, kind of fine tuning. But when you put a piece of wood on that lathe, you got to take that. First, you take the kind of the rough pieces of the rough tools, and you get the rough stuff off, and then you kind of graduate to a little more medium thing, and then you go to the fine tuning. And we are that piece of wood. But remember now, Jesus, when he was here on earth, was prepared for his ministry by being a carpenter. He knows how to work with wood. Think about that, brethren. This is our wise master builder, our journeyman carpenter, and he's working with that wood to bring that wood to that final finished product, which I like what the Amplified said, it's a work of art. The finished product, it's a work of art. So what we are at the present is we are an unfinished work. But in the mind, of God, he sees the finished product. He sees that beautiful piece of wood, no rough spots anymore. It's all smoothed out, and God knows what he's doing. He has to put us through these times. He has to gouge. He has to, when you think about the potter, he put that raw piece of clay. You know who that clay is, right? That's you and I. That big piece of clay. And he's got to form it, and sometimes he's got to squeeze it. And but he has in his mind, he knows what he wants. He sees the finished product. God is not done with you. I think of that, and Connie will remember this little song. I went down to the carpenter shop, and he whittled and sanded and planed, and I cried, and I tried to give up, but I knew that he would complete his purpose in me. Because he was the wise master builder. He knows what he wants out of that piece of wood. So, brethren, I want us to think about this new creation. The new creation man that God is creating out of this wood, this piece of wood right here. God is creating the new creation man. Now, one thing there in verse 10, it says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We are God's new creation being created. Do you know that we are in the process of being created? But keep in mind, now, I want us to keep this thought that you are the wood and he's the craftsman. He's the master builder. He's the artificer. He's the mason. He's the mason, Jeremy, you know? And so he knows what he's doing. We cannot question what God is doing in each one of us, because each one of us, you know, some of us are in the furnace. Some of us are on the wood lathe. Some of us are on the potter's wheel. And we don't know, you know, but God is doing a work in us. Now, I want you to, I want you to, while we're in Ephesians, go over to chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 22, Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on what? The new man, which after God is what? Created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, we're going to keep this thought in mind, that we're the wood, but he's the craftsman. Now, what does the wood have to do to participate in the plan of the wise master builder? He has to submit. Yeah. He has to just submit himself, knowing what, well, you know, that tool, I've seen those lathe tools. I worked a little bit with that, but those things are sharp and they cut deep. You know, sometimes God has to cut deep into our soul, and the fire is hot, the wood is sharp, you know, but God knows what he's doing. He's a wise master builder. He sees the finished product. So I want you to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yeah, okay, there we go, yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and go down to verse 17. I may want this in the Amplified Version. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. And I believe the Amplified says a new creation, doesn't it? In verse 17.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And that's properly so. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are what become new. And I didn't look that up. If anybody has the Greek there, so I don't have to take the time to do that. But I believe that that word become in the Greek is genome. Somebody tell me if that, if you have the Greek there for.
Yes, it's genome.
I'm sorry?
It is genome.
Genome. Okay. Now, if you look at that word genome, we're talking about genes. That's where the word genes, our DNA, comes from. We are becoming what Christ has in his mind to become. And so what he has done is he has planted the seed, and every seed bears after what? Its own kind. So the new creation is the seed planted in our soul, but it has to come to maturity. It has to come to full stature. And that happens only by us submitting to the creation process. Now, I want to say something right here that speaks to every one of us. Forget the past. Old things are passed away. Do you see that? I want you to look at that in that verse. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Forget the failures. Forget your past sins. You know, I was thinking about some of the old neighborhoods that I used to hang around, and when I was a young man and not, you know, doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. But he says, old things are passed away. Don't let anyone, and especially the devil, remind you of your sinful past. It is under the blood. And everyone said, amen. My past sins are under the blood, to be remembered no more. They are cast into the sea of forgetfulness, and God will never bring them up again. And so, bear in mind that this new creation, the gene that's been planted in your soul, is the seed of Christ. And Christ knows exactly what he has to do in each one of us to bring that seed to fruition. So it's the seed of Christ, the Christ man, the Christ nature in you, the Christ nature in me, the Christ nature in the body. Now, I want us to bear in mind, we are a work in progress. He's not finished with us. You look at you, and you see, well, I've fallen short of the glory. You know, I messed up here. I messed up there. What God is looking at, God's not looking at your failures. God is looking at the finished man, the completed man, the new creation man. And so we are working We are working with God to bring forth this new creation man. Now, go back to, we talk about creation. We have to go back to Genesis. So we're going back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1 and chapter 1. And again, if you have the Hebrew there, you can check me out on this and make sure that I'm quoting it correctly. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, the first earth that God created, he created that man out of the dust of the earth. So we were earth before we were heaven. Agreed? We were a piece of clay. And then when God breathed into Adam that breath of life, he became what? He became a living soul. And by becoming a living soul, heaven was planted in him. So first he was earth, then he was heaven. Are we agreed? All right. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And what? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So now, let's move beyond the natural earth, okay? The earth, the natural earth was formless and void, and it had to, and God had to make it habitable. Amen. He had to make that formless and void darkness into something habitable. He had to make it into a paradise. Okay. But let's concentrate on the piece of clay called Adam that he had to become a living soul. Now, here's where I need your help. In the Hebrew, and the earth was without form and void. That word was, it should be the word haya in the Hebrew. Please check, but make sure that that is the word haya, which yes, means yes. Okay, thank you, brother. It means the better word there, it became, okay? The earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved and did what? He recreated it. So he took clay, and he recreated clay into a man called Adam and breathed the breath of life into him, and he became a living soul. Now, we are creationists, okay? We believe in Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning, God, okay? In the beginning, God created everything that was created. But God also created something where he planted the seed in man to reproduce. And what do we call that? Procreation. And praise God, Glory and her husband are procreating, populating the planet. It's procreation. Now, the whole thing, the same thing is happening. Because remember now, There's the natural earth. And out there are sinners that are repopulating. They're procreating. But in the dimension and in the economy of God, God is pro-creating. Through every generation, God had a generation of righteous souls, and every generation added to the next one, and the next one, and the next one, until we come down to the final generation, what we call the 42nd generation, the generation of Christ in the body, bringing forth what? The new creation man. So we want to make this, go to Isaiah. Before we go back to the New Testament, go to Isaiah chapter 65. Yeah, Isaiah 65. We need to see this. Okay, Isaiah 65, go down to verse 17. For behold, I create. Amen? Again, this is procreation, not of the earth, not of man procreating naturally. This is the procreation that's going on in the heavens. For behold, I create, and I'm going to add the word procreate. I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be you glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. Brethren, I believe you're going to be blessed when we get to where we need to go. And I'm trying to get there as quickly as possible. Forget the past. Forget yesterday's failures. He says he remembered, they shall not be remembered nor come to mind. The new creation man, the Christ man that's being created in you, in me, in this body, is coming to fruition. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that? Because God is the wise master builder, and everything God made was what? Good. Meaning, what God started to create, he finished. All right. So I want you to go to first, we're going back to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, and go down to, yes, okay. Go down to verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Okay, yeah. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And verse 11, and what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. What are we talking about? God knows what he's doing. Do you see the present state of my life, Lord? Do you see the things that are coming against me? You know, I like the I like the resolve, and I'm going to get their names right. I'm going to tell you their Hebrew names: Ananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, the three Hebrew young men in the furnace. Do you think they said, God, we're in this furnace, and it's pretty hot, and we're going to be consumed here? They had a resolve, brethren, before they went into that furnace. The same, we could use the same words Esther used. If I perish, I perish. I am not going to bow to your idols, Nebuchadnezzar. Throw me in the furnace if you want. But they had a resolve. I have not seen, nor ear heard. Brethren, God knows his business. He knows what he's doing. Now, there's a word there in verse 10. But God hath revealed them to us. What things? What's in the heart of man? What's in the heart of God? By his Spirit, God is revealing to man. That word, I believe that word is apocalypsis. Apocalypto, just like the book of Revelation. None of us here, myself most included, none of us here have the full revelation. That's that word, apocalypto, is revelation. None of us have a handle on all of the mysteries that are in the book of Revelation. None of us. But there's hope. Listen to this. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. In other words, it's unfolding. It's unfolding. Here a little, there a little. The mysteries are unfolding. But keep in mind, we are a work in progress. He's not finished with you. He's not finished with me. He's not finished with any of us until we come to full stature in Christ. You know, I was talking about that little song, The Carpenter Shop, you know, and I cried and I tried to give up, but I knew his purpose for me. You know, did you ever do that? You don't raise your hand. But did you ever cry and say, oh, Lord, I'm not going to make it? And in your heart, what you're saying is, I'm giving up. I have been in some fiery trials, as you have. I'm not saying mine was any hotter than yours, but I have been in some fiery trials, and I cried. And I tried to give up. And in my heart, I was ready to give up. God said four words to me. And he said this to me many times in my walk. You can make it. You can make it. Brethren, you can make it. It's a revelation. How do I know that you can make it, that I can make it, that we can make it? How do I know that? Because he is the master craftsman. He knows what he's doing. He's building something in us that has to go through the fire. It has to go under the knife. It has to go on the potter's wheel. It has to be squeezed. You know, I have watched what I don't know what you call them, a potter. I guess you call them a potter, those people that work with clay. I've gone to craft fairs already and seen them, how they work. So you get that finished product. Oh, it's such a nice little bowl or pitcher or whatever it is. It just looks so nice. And then you put this little glaze on it. And then what do you do with it? Wait a minute. You're not going to put me in that oven. Well, I have to. That's the only way that vessel is a type of the soul. The only way that piece of clay. Now, remember, where did we start out? A hunk of clay on the potter's wheel, just a massive clay. And it had to be worked, and it had to be shaped, and it had to be molded. And then it had to be glazed, and then it had to be put in the fiery furnace. And that was the only way. Because what is the purpose of that vessel? To go on the Father's table. To be a vessel of honor. Okay, we're getting there, brother. We're getting close. All right, I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 2. We're making progress here. We're moving along. Hebrews chapter 2. We're in Hebrews chapter 2. I may want verse 10, Joanne, and Amplified here. We're going to start with verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now, I'm going to ask Joanne to read verse 10 in the Amplified. Just read verse 10 for me, if you would.
For it was fitting for God that is an act worthy of his divine nature, that he, for whose sake are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the author and founder of their salvation perfect through suffering, bringing to maturity the human experience necessary for him to be perfectly equipped for his office as high priest.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, again, it's important to look at some of these words in the Greek. In verse 10 again, for it became him, for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons. Okay, I'm going to ask you to look that in the Greek, because I believe that word is huios, which means a mature son. Okay? Okay? Agreed? Huios. Okay. So we start out, and sometime maybe we'll do a little study on this progression. Start out as a babe in Christ. And that word babe is nepios, just a little nepios baby. Then you grow into what? A technon. A technon is a child. He's not yet a full son. But what God is after is that huios, bringing that son to full stature. Now, keep in mind, we use the word procreation. Keep in mind the procreation process here. Jesus Christ became us. He became a man. He had, Jesus Christ took upon himself the nature of Adam, which meant Jesus Christ became humanity. He was a real person in a real body, which meant that he could taste the sufferings. Do you hear me? He could taste the sufferings of every man. He knows what it's like to be clay. He knows what it's like to be wood. He knows what it's like to be a piece of stone or a brick, Jeremy. You know, he knows what it's like. And then Jesus had to come to a point of maturity, a sinless life, come to maturity. And then he had to go into the furnace of the crucifixion. It was his furnace. And he came out tasting death for every one of us. So now that procreation became a seed planted in our soul. You, the vessel, you, the wood, you, the clay, planted in our soul. And the seed was a nepios, a baby. The seed is a technon. He grew up to be a technon, a child. And that finished product, this is the finished product, to be a huios, a matured son. Brethren, we are all, please feel free to disagree with me. We are all still at the technon stage. We are still children growing up. Here's the promise. And I want you to look at this. And we're going to read it one more time in verse 10. It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing what? Many sons to glory. That's the hope. Christ in me, Christ in you, Christ in the body. the hope of the glory. And what is the glory? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. That's the matured son. That's the huios. And guess what? He's bringing many sons. You mean that means me? Me too? Yes, absolutely. He's bringing many sons to glory. So, brethren, if you see a little flaw in me, know that I'm still a technon. I'm still a work of art. I'm still being worked on. I'm still a work in progress. So when we see one another's wood not quite presentable, know that we're still being brought to glory. The seed in us is growing. Amen. I should have one amen. The seed in us is growing. Christ is growing up. The finished work is many sons to glory. Okay, that's what we call sonship. Many sons to glory. All right. Galatians chapter 4. We're getting close here. Galatians chapter 4. And now, I want you to know that Paul, Apostle Paul, saw some things in the Spirit. Because remember, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath been revealed unto man the things which the Spirit of God is doing in us. Now, Paul got caught up in the Spirit, and he got a glimpse. He got a firsthand glimpse of the finished man, the completed man, the matured son. And this is what Paul is talking about. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, as procreation, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That word there is huiothesia. Okay, we're going to get back to that word. And because you are sons, that word is the huios, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, a doulos slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The Christ planted in every man, working in every one of us to bring us to that full stature in Christ. Now, let's go back to that word, adoption of sons. Huiothesia. Sounds like a big Greek word. Let's break it down. What do you have there in the Amplified when in verse 5 for adoption as sons?
As God's children with all rights, as fully grown members of a family.
Yeah, see, so the Amplified brings it out. that the huiothesia is fully grown. But I'm going to add something there. And I believe, Mark is familiar with J.P. Green. J.P. Green did a wonderful work of an interlinear that he had. J.P. Green says that this is the placing of a son. We are all being placed in the place of God's choosing, where God is going to use us to come to full maturity, and we are going to come to full stature as a body. But remember, you're placed by God. Huiothesia is the placing of God as a son. You know, it was very much ordained that Jesus had to grow up in Galilee. He was a carpenter taught by Joseph, and he had to grow up in Galilee. There's a divine providence where each one of us are placed in the place we're at. Are you listening to me, Howard? Are you still with us? You know, sometimes God has to move us. Now, when we lived in Texas for 7 years, and we were very content not to have to shovel snow, not to scrape ice off our windows. We had a very nice life. But the problem was, all of our children, all of our grandchildren, all of our now great grandchildren are here in Illinois. And the word of the Lord came to us. Get thee out of Texas. He didn't quite say it that way. Joanne's snickering a little bit. Get thee out of Texas and move thee to Illinois. And I cried and I tried to give up. And I said, Lord, I need a snow shovel. I'll get you one. I need an ice scraper. I'll get you one. You know, I feel sorry for you Nigerians. You don't know the joy of shoveling snow and scraping ice off your windows. Glory, you might know a little bit about that. But God has placed every one of us, not only in a physical, I think you know a little something about this, Judy. God placed you. All right? God placed us in a location, and he placed us in a body. And brethren, sometimes iron sharpeneth iron. Sometimes we're in a body and we feel like the brethren. You know, I heard this said, and it's somewhat true. You know, you invest a lifetime into your children. Teach them the scripture, pray with them. They grow up, they go to college or something, go off into the world, you know, and they don't follow the Lord anymore. And then all of a sudden they say, what did you try to teach me here? You guys are in a cult, you know, you're following that cult leader, Lucille, you know, and I heard it said, you know, parents are the bones on which children sharpen their teeth. Think about that one. Sometimes your children come back and say, why did you do this to me? Why couldn't I have been raised in a better home? Listen, brethren, we planted something in our children God's not done. You know that they found seeds? They found corn seeds in a pyramid that had been there for thousands of years. You know what they did? They took some of those corn seeds and planted them. Guess what happened? Corn. Listen, that seed of Christ which you planted in those children that are rebelling now, that seed brings forth after its own kind. Continue to cry out to God for those children that are wayward, that have gone off. You planted good seed in them, and that seed will come to fruition. God will bring them in. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we're coming along here. Now, I want you to go to Philippians. We're almost done here. Go to the book of Philippians. I am so thankful for the writings of Paul. Philippians chapter 1. I'm so blessed that God gave this gift called Paul the Apostle to the church to write these things. Okay. And I think I want this in the Amplified, Joanne. So we're in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Okay, I want to hear what Joanne has to say in the Amplified here. Verse 6.
I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return.
Amen. He's going to complete it. Brethren, this is a master craftsman. He knows what he's doing. Everything God begins, he finishes. The work that God started in you, okay, he says here, I am confident. Right? I
Yes.
have confidence. If we don't have confidence, let's get it. Let's get it from the Word of God. If the Word of God says that I should be confident that He's going to complete the work in you, in me, that settles it. So I am confident. I'm going to read it again. We are convinced. Okay? We're confident of this very thing, that he which planted the seed in me is going to bring the seed to fruition. That he which hath begun a good work in you, but what? And I believe it said there in the Amplified, he's going to complete it, right? He's going to complete it. He's going to finish it. He which begun a good work, let me start again. He which hath begun a good work, okay, the piece of wood. I'm the piece of wood, I'm the piece of clay. He which begun a good work in you, Connie, in you, Judy, in you, Alan, each one of us, he which begun the good work is going to complete it. He's going to finish it. And guess what? Guess what the finished product is? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in you. The fullness of Christ. That's the kurios, the matured son. So I'm okay. I won't say this about you, but I'm going to say this about me. I'm still a piece of work. You know, I'm still a work in progress. I'm still a piece of wood. I'm still a piece of clay being worked with. Still have to go in that fiery furnace. When they put that glaze on that piece of pottery and he has to go in that fiery furnace. Because I want to be a vessel of honor. To be at the Father's table. Now, okay. Piece of wood me. Piece of wood you. What do I have to do? Because he's the master craftsman. He's the workman. What do I have to do as the piece of wood? I have to just cooperate. I have to lay still and let him sharpen his knife. Let him use that tool. Let him let him gouge that wood. Let him, if I'm that piece of clay, he's got to squeeze me. The main function every one of us have to do to be that completed, finished man is to cooperate with the work of the Spirit that's going on. You know, God puts us into fellowships. He puts us in families. And sometimes we're being sharpened. Sometimes we're being worked over, pounded and sanded and planed, you know, squeezed on the potter's wheel. All these things he's doing in each one of us. But I'm gonna read that one more time in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. When we read it in the first hand here, first person, what is that term? First person, any rate, tense, first person tense, being confident. I am confident. You are confident. Amen. We've established that. We're convinced. We're confident of this very thing, that he, Jesus Christ, the master craftsman, which begun this good work in me, in you, is going to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Now I'm going to close with this. I want us to go back to where we started. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 10. Ephesians 2:10. We. Do you notice that? He's speaking to the body. Every member. Each one of us. We are his workmanship. Created. I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. My past is under the blood. My failure from yesterday, it's under the blood. We are his workmanship, created in what? In Christ. Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. We're a work in progress. But God, I'm confident of this one thing. That this wise master builder that began the work in me knows how to complete it in every one of us. Glory to God. God bless you, brethren. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your time. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.